Welcome to this edition of Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today is Tuesday, August the 5th. Can you believe 2008 is more than halfway over? I don't know about you, but I cannot believe it's already this late in the year. Dave Ball's not with us today. He's getting a well-deserved break, and I'm going to be flying solo. You know, the reason I do this broadcast is because it wells up in my heart to share what God says about money, but it's not because of what you may think. You know, just over 8 years ago, I encountered God in a study of what he says about money. Now, that sounds a little unusual, and I want you to think this through with me for just a second. When I encountered what God said about money, I didn't learn more about money. I learned more about God. In other words, when the study was over, my finances hadn't increased, but my knowledge of God had increased. I left the study with more of God and not more of money. And there's a very big difference, and there's a tension out there because some people believe you study God's financial principles so that you can have more money. But I believe there's a huge difference, and the difference is you study his principles because you need to know more about him. You know, anybody can teach you to change your behavior, but God is the only one who can lead you to change your heart, what you believe, what you really, really rely on in life. And in the past 8 years, I have to tell you, since I learned more about God, the truth is that I have saved more money. I have given more money, and I am more financially healthy than I've ever been in all of my life. So there's been a wonderful outcome of that. But more so than that, I've prospered in my spirit. I've grown to love Christ, and I've grown to love his word because I've seen his word radically transform me, and I see it radically transforming people all over the world. And that comes from a heart change, not an external change of behavior. And so if you want to change, if you want to grow, if you want to truly experience the abundance that God promises, the abundance not only externally, but internally, then the problem is not with your behavior. It's what you believe, and it's what's in your heart. And we want to help you with that. And today we're going to talk about having your mind renewed and your heart changed. I hope you'll keep listening to the rest of this program. You're listening to Money Life, and I'm Chuck Bentley. When we come back, we're going to explore the topic, what impresses you? And it's very important to know and understand what you're impressed by, because it has more control on your life than you might dream or imagine. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about what impresses you. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, really given a lot of thought to what impresses you? It's an interesting topic because it leads to some discovery about ourselves that we really need to analyze. In fact, it's been said that what you're impressed by is the clearest indication of the direction that you're going in life. In other words, the thing that just grabs your attention, that captivates you, it's a signal to the road that you're on in life. And I want to talk about it because I think it will help us understand some of the passages that God uses to really get our attention. And here's an interesting one. It comes from Mark 12 when the Lord talks about the widow and her offering. Here's the verse. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Now, many rich people threw in large amounts. He noted that. And then he says, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Now, here's what he did. When he saw that, he's observing, he's watching. When he saw that, not when he saw the rich people put in the large amounts, when he saw this little amount, it said he called his disciples to him. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, here's what I want you to pick up from this passage, that Jesus was impressed with what she did. He was so impressed by that, that he called his disciples together and said, I want you to look at this. In other words, he was making an observation. It grabbed his heart. He evaluated in comparison what others were doing. And he said, I'm impressed with that. And you know what impressed him with that? That the widow was not afraid to put in all she had. She wasn't just putting in a little from her savings. She wasn't just putting in a portion of her net worth. It says she was putting in everything. And the Lord said, I want you to observe that. Now let's keep going on, because there's someone else that's impressed in this story. Because it goes over into Mark 13. It just continues on. It says, because he was leaving the temple, as he was leaving the very place where he had made this observation, he had taught his disciples what he was impressed with. One of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Now, when I hear that, I see myself, because here Jesus just told the disciple what he was impressed with, and the disciple turned around and told Jesus what he was impressed with. And you have a major, major contrast. Jesus said, I'm impressed with this over here. And in just immediately turning around, what captured the eye of the disciple was an impressive building. And so much so, and how embarrassing, that you would say, hey, Jesus, look at what I'm impressed with. Look how cool this is. But it's so easy to happen. And Jesus looked at him, and all he could say, and this is really a very polite way that he said it, he said, do you see all those great buildings? In other words, take a good long look at them. He said, because not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. In other words, instead of saying, you know, it was really a dumb thing to say, which it obviously was, and I put myself in those shoes because I've done this many a time, telling Jesus what I'm so impressed with. He said, don't be impressed with it. It's all temporal. The things that you're impressed with are the temporal things of this world. And so far, we've seen that Jesus was impressed with the widow for what she did. And the disciple was impressed with the world for what he saw and what man had done. But who's the one we want to focus on in this story? It's the widow. What was she impressed with? The widow was impressed with God. Or she wouldn't have put everything in. The only thing that freed her to put everything she had into his kingdom was the fact that she was impressed with God. And so here's the first financial principle that I get out of this, that God deeply desires for all of us to be impressed with him, to be awed at who he is, so much so that we feel the liberty and the freedom to trust him with every single thing we have. And you see, if we're not impressed with him, and we're like the disciple who gets impressed with all the external things around us that we can see and touch and feel and just gawk over, then what he's saying is we're missing the point of what life's really about. There's a great psalm that reinforces this. It's Psalm 49:16. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper, he will join the generation of his fathers who will never see the light of day. Now follow me, because I don't want you to get the wrong impression. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's nothing wrong with doing something great and significant. But we're not to be impressed with anything that's not permanent. I got to tell you a story about what happened to me that was so impressive to me about my wife's heart attitude towards things. We had just joined ministry over 8 years ago. We hardly had any money in our pockets. I drove an older model car. It was dirty. And we got invited to a wedding party. And so we went to this wedding party in my dirty little car without much money, and we turned our backs on the things of this world. And it turned out to be one of the biggest houses I'd ever been in my life. It was enormous. There were two full-time security guards in different parts of this house. It had rare oil paintings, paneled library, a three-story ladder going up to the top of their library alone. I can't tell you how big and massive it was. It was so big and massive, I was intimidated, knowing that when we got in the car to drive home, that my wife was going to talk about how impressed she was, and maybe we had made a mistake going into ministry. That's at least what I thought the conversation would be about. I thought, oh my gosh, this shouldn't have happened to us. So we got in the car. I no sooner had closed the door, and I'm kind of waiting for the topic to come up because my mouth had been hanging open. And I said, well, honey, what'd you think about the house? And she looked at me almost without hesitation. She said, you know what I was thinking in there? I was thinking, I wonder what kind of mansion the Lord has prepared for his martyrs. Because it's going to be bigger and more impressive than that. And I could not believe her depth. She wasn't impressed with what man had. She was impressed with what God had in store for us. That's the kind of thinking God wants us all to have. To not be impressed with what's temporal, but only those things that are truly permanent. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life, and we'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about the things that impress you. What are you impressed with? Because whatever you're impressed with are a clear indication of the direction of your life. They indicate your trajectory. I remember as a kid, I had a friend that I used to visit his house, and one day the pictures in their house started changing. And I know this is kind of a weird story. It's not something that you're probably impressed with, but I grew up I was born in the 50s, and in the 60s and 70s, there were some very popular musicians, and Tom Jones' concert came to town, and this boy's mother became very impressed with Tom Jones. And we went through their house, and Tom Jones posters were all throughout the house. Now, the husband wasn't nearly as impressed with Tom Jones as his wife. And it created lots of problems because it was a clear indication of what she was impressed with and kind of the direction of her life. And it also turned out to be true that she was moving away from her husband instead of towards him. And so you have to be careful of what grabs your attention and what you're impressed with. And, you know, so often we miss what the widow had captured, and that she was actually impressed with God. The first thing God wants us to be impressed with is himself. I try not to say the word awesome anymore. It's become a part of our vernacular, and we look at silly little things, and somebody does something great in sports or in music or art, and we say, oh, that's so awesome. Well, the reality of it is, by definition, it's really not awesome. Awesome is reserved for when you're almost silenced. You're so overly impressed that you are just silent. You know, Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." The Lord wants each of us to be in awe of who He is, because we're receiving this kingdom that can't be shaken. And He's the King of that kingdom. And He's so far superior to money. Because when you read His Word, you meet Him. The financial principles we teach lead you to know who He is and of His goodness. And He wants you to be in awe and to worship Him and to say, "I'm connected with one that I can trust my entire well-being to. I can trust my eternity to. I can trust my net worth to this one. I am entrusting my everything into this great God." Number two, God wants us to be impressed with His Word. And if you're struggling with changing the way you handle money, if you're stuck with the things that seem to never go away, you just seem to be repeating the same old mistakes and going through the same old cycles, and you're wondering, why can't I change? Why can't my behavior get in line with what I see would be best for me? May I recommend you get in His Word, that you really start to enter into God's world. To me, it's like opening that armoire that the children go through in the Chronicles of Narnia. There's a different world on the other side of that wardrobe, and you enter that world, God's world, when you get into His Word. And in that world, that's where you meet Aslan, and you know who He is, and you know more of what He thinks and what He desires and what He says, and you begin to have a true relationship. And that turning point came for me when I bought a brand new Bible, and I grew up in God's Word. I've read it for years and years and years, but I knew I needed something different. And so I went and bought a new Bible, and I just wrote in the front of it, "Lord, I want to know You. I really want to know You more. And please reveal more of Yourself to me." I began to read His Word, and my mind began to change. I got more and more and more impressed with Him. And I got less and less and less impressed with the things of this world. And it was through the process of renewing my mind that I fell in love with God, and I began to desire to apply His principles. And when I did that, my heart was changed, and my behavior followed suit. And that's the key. Let God change your heart, and then He'll change your behavior. And then number three, I think God wants you to be impressed with the things that He creates, not the things that man creates. Now, He gifts people to create things that He inspires them to do, and that's good. But what we should be impressed with are the fact that it points back to Him, the Creator, the creative source, the fountainhead of creativity. He created the earth, and it's impressive. And we can't help but look at it and just feel awe when you see one of His wonders. But that's not to be in awe of just the earth, but the one who created it. We're to be in awe of the children that He created. I remember every time I stand in the hospital room when our children are born, I'm in awed silence of the miracle of God. Not just that I have a child that I'm so taken with, but what God did by giving me a child, by making this miracle. And then I'm impressed with the new creations. God's not through creating. He says every time one is born again, they're a new creature in Christ. And it points to His regenerative Holy Spirit. It points to His redemptive power. When you see someone go from darkness to light, from a terrible circumstance, even financial brokenness, into a whole new place, you stand in awe of God and what He can do. You know what He wants us to be is so impressed with Him that we're like the widow who says, "I'm willing to give anything and everything that I possibly have because I trust this God so much." He doesn't want us to be like the disciple who is walking side by side with His Savior, the God of this universe, the Master of all mankind, and telling the Master what he should be impressed with. Now, can you think of anything more humbling and embarrassing than to have been the one that said that? You know, God was gracious because He didn't name His name. And I think we can all fill in our names. You know, God wants us to be impressed with Himself, His Word, and His creations. When we come back, we're going to finish up today's program on what impresses you. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
You're listening to Money Life. Welcome back. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we've been talking about what impresses you and the fact that whatever you're impressed with probably has gripped your heart, and it's an indication of the direction you're going in. And in the stories that we share today, you're either the widow who's impressed with God, or you're the disciple who God pointed out was impressed with the temporal things of this world. You know, God wants us to be impressed with Him. And He wants us to be impressed with His Word, and He wants us to be impressed with what He creates. And when those are the central things of our life, then our behaviors begin to change and our finances begin to come into line with that. It all starts with our heart, not external behavior. I have a friend who told me the story of his father who got impressed with God. He got impressed with His Word, and he loved people and wanted to help them, and he wanted to make a difference. But his father was in India. My friend was born in India. He was the fifth generation of Christians in his family. His father loved the Lord, but they were in a lower caste, and they didn't have a lot of money. His father walked to work every day and walked back home from work. And on his way to work, he would walk by beggars to and from work. The streets were lined with beggars in India. And his father didn't have enough money, but he believed that God said it was better to give than to receive. And God loved those people that he was walking by, so he would carry rupees in each pocket, and he would give them out on his way to work and on his way back from work, day after day after day. And he did it so long that, in fact, his children began to resent it. And they told him, "Dad, you're being ripped off. These people don't care. They knock on our doors. They find you. They ask you for money all the time. You don't know what they're doing with it. They're not even Christians, and you're helping these people. You're way too generous, Dad. In fact, we think you're a fool for being so generous." And his dad would defend himself only by saying, "God said it was better to give than to receive. And during my life, I want to do what God said is best for me. And so I'm going to continue to give." His children grew to resent their father. They literally thought that he was being taken advantage of until the day he died. And on the day he died, their very simple father had his funeral service. And as they went to the church for his funeral service, they were completely overwhelmed to find that the streets were lined with beggars trying to get into the chapel. That thousands and thousands of beggars had shown up to honor their father for his kindness. And that's the day that they were impressed with God, that their father had lived a significant life. His funeral was bigger than any government official who had ever been buried in their area. And they changed their heart and attitude towards money that very day. And they dedicated themselves to believing God that it is better to give than to receive. Well, I'm Chuck Bentley. This has been Money Life. I hope you've been encouraged today. We'll be back again tomorrow.